Good morning, Campus Church. I would like to start off by introducing us. I am Ralph Sharp, and this is my wife, Joy, and we are one of the shepherding families at campus, and we've been serving now for almost 6 years coming up.
It doesn't seem like 6 years.
No, it doesn't.
It's gone by quickly.
And that's a good thing. It has been a pleasure serving this congregation over the last several years. We would like to share with you some of the things that have Bible passages, Bible stories that's impacted how we do ministry. And I think our stories, they're a lot different in where we're coming from, but one of the stories for me is in Luke chapter 15, and as Jesus shares the story of the parable of the lost son. And the reason this is impactful for me is that growing up, my mom and dad, when they got married, my mom had two boys before they had me. And so I got to watch my father father these two boys, my stepbrothers, in such a way that was just so natural. And there was no distinction between me and being his biological son and my two stepbrothers. And so that's been very impactful in my life. And it's funny, God has a sense of humor in how he works and how he works in our lives and preparing us. So fast forward many years, I meet Joy, and she has two boys before we had Madison. And so I got to watch my father father two boys that were not his. And it became such an impactful way for me to father our two boys that we had before we had Madison. And one of the things that developed through that is that I did not want to be a stumbling block to anybody in their relationship with God. I have heard people say it, I've read people say it, that their experience with their parents was not great, and that if their heavenly father was like their earthly parents, they didn't want any part of that. So that became very impactful in how ministering to people and how I treat people. And so throughout the scripture, God is so amazing. He's consistently loving. He's consistently compassionate. He's consistently extends us grace time and time again. And so that's something that I wanted to model in my life in how I treat people. And so what does that mean on kind of a practical level? Sometimes that means that I have to put some of my own thoughts, some of my own opinions, I'll say, aside, because you know what, in the long run, in the relationships, in talking with my brothers and sisters in Christ, my thoughts and my opinions don't matter. It's how they feel, how they're treated, that matters. And I want to lift them up. I want to be compassionate. I want to be full of grace, because I don't know what it feels like to walk in their shoes. So that's a story for me and how that impacts how I do ministry.
And for me, Ralph and I could not be more different, but we work and God put us together. I did have two children. I was a single mom for a lot of time. And when I met Ralph, he fit. He was a great fit. God gave him to me. I know my parents prayed him into my family because they were terrified I was going to move in with them. But I was just so grateful that God allowed me to meet Ralph. And Ralph has said his whole life that God has pursued him. He was not a Christian, and that he knew that there was something out there for him that God had in store for him, but he didn't know what that was. Little did he know it was me, but he said, in spite of me, he became a Christian. So, and the way I try to serve is knowing that God has given each of us our own personalities. He's given us our own gifts and our own talents. And he said, girl, you got to use those. I haven't given anybody anything that I've given you that you cannot use. And I intend for you to use those. I am the kind of person, let's just cut to the chase, tell me what you need. And I like to keep it real. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. And we're all in the same boat had it not been for Jesus Christ. We would be in a mess. And I've been through some stuff, I'll tell you that. Like I said, I was a single mom. Ralph came along, fit right into our family. In fact, my boys used to fight over who could ride with him to the ballpark. They would always go, "I call Ralph, I call Ralph." And so I'm just so grateful to God for that. I'm grateful for my spiritual heritage, my upbringing. I had a mother and a father who taught us from the very first place we went as an infant was to church. So it's been my whole life. And the story that Ralph referenced about the prodigal son, I've been that boy, and I've been the other boy that thought, "I'm not going to show them any grace. I'm not going to show him any mercy. Who am I to do that?" Thankfully, I have been forgiven for that attitude, and I just want to serve out of complete trust and faith. He gives me the courage. His Holy Spirit has made me able to serve because I am just an ordinary person. And if God can use me, believe me, He can use anybody, right, babe? I mean, really.
Absolutely.
I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to get to be kind of a leader. I want to be who you need, and I will serve with you. I don't know all the answers. In fact, if God is merciful and I come to you, He'll keep me quiet. And then we can, you know, grow together, be compassionate together, serve together, and love each other, because we are all just trying to make ourselves better, but also for the glory of God. It's all for His glory and not for our own. One thing that Ralph didn't say was he's been a wonderful stepfather. He's just been the best guy. And when I said I've been through some stuff, besides being a single mom, which was really, really tough, we lost our oldest son to a car wreck, and God did not leave me. It was horrible. But you know what? He also tells us that He comforts us with the comfort we can give others. So you don't go through stuff just because. If you're wise, you will let God use that so that you can help other people. Because we are here for each other, and we want to be here for you in any capacity that we can.
Will you pray with us?
Dear God, thank you so much for letting us be a part of Campus Church. God, we are so blessed, and we're so thankful that we can be a part of this body that loves you so much. It's so caring and kind, and we thank you for your Son, who put us above Himself and made us a child of yours, God. We're just so thankful for that.
Father, we are so privileged to be part of this congregation, for a body that you love, and for the work that you're doing here on Indian Trail in this area. Father, may we as a congregation, may we first exhibit love to one another. And may we grow together. May we grow in service. May we grow in love for this community. May we be a shining light here where you've put us. We thank you so much for the blessings, that the talents, for the just so many things, God, where you have been present in the history of this church. And once again, we're just so thankful and privileged to be not working on our own, but Father, carrying your mission to this community. We thank you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Hey, I wanted to offer a special prayer this morning before you join us in reflection and communion and worship. We have pre-videoed this morning's worship, and then after doing that, the terrifying and sad news of the shooting in Minneapolis occurred. And so I wanted to just do a short video of us praying together as we mourn with our brothers and sisters who are mourning in Minneapolis, and as we pray for God's kingdom to come and His will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So if while you're in your homes, if you would join me for just a moment of prayer. Thank you. God, we often feel this feeling that we feel right now, and that is a sense of despair and sorrow concerning the darkness that's in our world. We know that the world is dark at times and that there's brokenness and sin, but then there are certain moments where the depth of that darkness just makes itself known to us. And this morning we have in mind our Catholic brothers and sisters in Minneapolis, and those parents of children who died in a senseless shooting, the parents of those children who were in the room and experienced a trauma that will affect them for the rest of their lives. Even the sorrow of this young man who is so lost and confused that he could do something so horrendous. We don't know what to pray, but we just lift all of this up to you and believe that we believe that you're present in our midst and that you mourn with us as we mourn and that you feel the pain of this pain that has visited us. We feel sorrow for our brothers and sisters, and it also for some of us causes a level of angst and anxiety for our own families. We long for the rest of the yoke of Jesus, the rest that he invites us into. We pray for those who are mourning. We pray that your will come. And we pray that you would make us a light in this dark world. And we pray that you would come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to the table of the Lord this morning. The downside of meeting only online is that we don't get to see each other for 1 week. One of the upsides is that we get to practice communion together in our homes, in our dining rooms or living rooms, which is more like what the first century church got to experience. So I want to help prepare your thoughts for that moment while you gather together. And I want to do that by bringing to the table the Lord's Prayer that's found in Matthew chapter 6. So I'll read this prayer and I'll just talk about it just for a second. And I'm going to ask you to, before you take communion, to read it together with your family. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, or the way I say it when I pray it myself is, lead me away from temptation and deliver us from the devil or the evil one. So I want to make a couple of comments about this prayer as we bring it into our communion time. One, in the prayer, there's an address toward our sin where we ask our Father to forgive our sins or to forgive the debts that we owe. And I think most of us sort of intuitively are aware of this when we come to the table of the Lord. But if you're not, I want to remind you that one part of the many parts of celebrating the table of the Lord is that each one of us come to the table knowing that we're guilty, that not only that we're guilty, but we owe something to God that we can't pay. And we come to the table because the table is a celebration of the removal of this debt that we owe. And I just want to bring us back to that's a significant part of our table experience. It's not a woe is me moment. It's a celebration that this is who I am and this is what my Father is like. He wants me to bring my debt and my guilt and my burdens to the table because he's eager to forgive them. This is the very nature of our Father in heaven. Okay, so I want to notice two things about this. One, I've been praying this prayer a couple of times a day for months now, and new things sort of rise to the surface for me as I recite this prayer over and over, and it kind of makes its way deeper into my heart. And one of the things that I notice is that when I come to the Father and I'm particularly aware of my sin, you know, you have moments or days like that where maybe more than other days that you're aware that you haven't been like Jesus in the way that you want to be like Jesus. Maybe you had a fight with or an argument with someone that you love, or you've exaggerated a story beyond what was true, or you were lazy and didn't work as hard. Whatever it is, the things that sort of pique that feeling for you of the kind of imperfection that you bring before the Father. If you're like me, when I'm particularly aware of my own guilt and I go to the Father, well, I have two struggles here. One is sometimes I think we human beings don't want to go to the Father when we're particularly aware of our guilt. It feels like, even though mentally we know this isn't true, it feels like we need to get our life in order and sort of make up for that sin before we feel spiritual enough to engage with the Father. I know that's probably not true for all of us, but I've heard it from some of you before. The thing about the Lord's Prayer is that we come into the prayer knowing that we're guilty, but Jesus doesn't invite us to deal with our guilt until near the end of the prayer. The first thing we say isn't, listen, Father, I know that I'm guilty and please forgive me. And I know I don't deserve to be able to come to you. All the things that the prodigal says as he makes his way back to the Father, you know, the speech. And the Father disregards the speech and just embraces the Son. Jesus imagines a prayer where we glory in the presence of the Father, and we beckon the Father to come and to make his will real in our lives. And we even ask him for our daily provision, for his presence in our daily lives before we ever begin to deal with our debt. And that's because we deal with our debt differently than the way that God deals with our debt. God is the Lord of the table. He already knows the debt has been dealt with. He's not a mean parent or a vengeful judge. He is a Father who invites us to bring our debts along, and we will deal with them in time. But it's not the most important thing in terms of our engagement with God. I don't know if that means something to you, but it's started to really mean something to me in the way that I imagine how I engage with the Father day after day after day. And the second thing that has been noted lots of times in sermons and in classes is that when we bring our debt to the table of the Lord, we also bring other debtors. This is the difficulty of the Lord's Prayer, is that every time I recite the Lord's Prayer and I ask the Father for his mercy and for his forgiveness and his love in the midst of my imperfection and my sin, I, in the very next line, must bring with me those who have wronged me, those who have sinned against me, those who owe me something. This practice over and over and over again shapes our hearts in a particular way. When we, every time we ask the Lord to deal with our debt, we remember the debts that others owe us, we inevitably gain perspective on the debts that are owed to us. We know, Paul says that he's the greatest of sinners. And I think one of the reasons Paul says this is because Paul knows his sin. He knows the extent of his own sin more than he knows the sins of others. Each human being is the greatest of sinners because each human being knows the true depth and darkness of their own sin. And when we're at the table of the Lord and we bring our debt before the Lord and we stop in that moment and turn to look toward the enemy or the human being who has wronged us, if we do this over and over again, what I promise you will discover is that the debt owed to you is so far less than the debt that you owe to the Father. A lot of different things happen when we're here at campus and we come to the table of the Lord. Sometimes there's mourning happening. We're hugging one another because we know of something that's going on in a person's life. Sometimes there's a spirit of celebration and just a happiness to be with one another. I want to ask you this morning to add to this, all of these things that happen at the table for you. I want to ask you to, in your living room, bring along your own debtors. I want to ask you, when you gather around the table, before you take the cup and before you take the bread, if you would just take a moment to share with your family or if you have friends over today, share with them the ways that others have hurt you that you have had the most difficulty forgiving. What are the, for me, oftentimes they're small things that just stick and they won't go away. And when Jesus says you have to forgive 70 times seven, for me, it's the same person and the same thing over and over and over again. Each day I return to that moment when that person hurt me and I have to forgive it over again. If you feel comfortable doing, when you gather around the table today, bringing your own debt before the Lord, talk to one another about, these are the things, this is the thing that happened to me. This is the person at church that hurt me. This is how I felt wronged at my workplace. This was in the past in our marriage when we had this struggle, whatever the level of intimacy that you're comfortable with. I want to ask you to articulate that wrong, that debt, and then bring it to the table of the Lord and see if the Lord and all of his mercy doesn't help you forgive just as he's forgiving you. Well, church, we'll see you next week. We miss you this week, but we'll see you next week and hope that you have a blessed time around the table of the Lord. Let me pray and then we'll be done. God, we're thankful for this table that is the centerpiece of our identity. This is us gathering around your table is who we are. And we're eager to receive your forgiveness at the table. We're eager to celebrate the body broken and the blood shed to ransom us from slavery to sin. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe, but we want to believe it, that you're the kind of loving God that's eager to forgive our debts. And today, as we gather around the table, we bring along with us the debts that others owe us and ask you in your goodness and kindness, in the gift of the Spirit, to help us be forgiving the way that we are being forgiven. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.